Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On tonight's show, Paula makes her rap debut, joined by award-winning composer and producer Jay Deal. Through music, she will express the pain caused by the introduction of a new Butterfingers formula. Plus, facial recognition. We've got a tactic for letting you know the looks on people's faces in our studio. Are they shocked, confused, or openly weeping? We'll break the code of unseen facial expression on an audio podcast. And an update on the pod puppy. He braved the zombie apocalypse on Miranda Street and is here in studio, panting but not pooping, so he fits right in with Paula and me. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep this show falling on the beat and in the flow. And now, please welcome the woman who never stays in the pocket, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band guitarist, Sean Hughes.
That was great, Sean.
Welcome, Sean. That was terrific.
Fantastic band.
Yes, one of our better house bands yet, I can tell. Now, Paula, let's start with the most pressing issue of the day. How's your training with Pod Puppy going?
The training is really coming along. For example, when she cries, I let her out.
Yes.
And when she drops her ball, I pick it up.
Okay.
And I go get it. And when she looks at me, I give her a treat. So,
let me congratulate Mo on a very good round of training.
She's done a fantastic job training me. She's very proud of me.
She's really got you in her pocket.
You know, there's only one thing she doesn't. Sometimes I go on the other side of the door.
Okay.
And then I don't come back for a long, long time.
Oh, so
and
you have to work on your come.
That's a problem behavior.
Yeah. Or stay. Is it your stay that's lacking?
I think it might be my stay.
Yeah.
Actually, I am training Mo, the puppy, to stay. And the reason I'm not a good stay trainer is I have no attention span. And so to train stay, you have to stay focused, right?
Right.
When you tell the dog to stay, like if you want the stay to be more than 20 seconds, you have to be able to pay attention for 30 seconds.
And you can't do that.
Not really. Not
no, as your co-host, I can tell you for a fact, you don't do that.
Oh, so you weren't just, you were not just repeating what I said, you were saying I can't do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
I did notice something else about Pod Puppy, because Pod Puppy was over at my house last night with you as we were preparing for a vacation show and watching a movie, screening a movie in my backyard.
Yeah, we were.
And what I noticed is that you said that sometimes she has kind of a nervous pee.
Yeah. She gets excited to see somebody, she pees.
Yeah. But it's not like a little, like a piddle that a lot of puppies do.
No.
She's like.
No, she breaks out the fire hose.
She really does.
I picked her up last night because I wanted Adam's wife to be able to, you know, pet her like a pot. I picked her up and she just peed all the way down my pants.
Right.
Onto my orthopedic shoe.
Right, because you broke your toe. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
There's not a lot to say. It just, is that our sound engineer dropping shit.
Anthony
over there?
Just dropped some shit.
Apparently, Bonnie was his babysitter.
Bonnie's
as a child.
Bad influence on everybody. Captain Crinkle, yeah, Bonnie Burns, your manager, is in the house.
Yeah.
And she was telling our guests in preparation for the show that it's everything we say about her is an exaggeration.
Yeah. And then she began to crinkle.
Yeah. And then literally seconds later, she reaches into her bag and we hear a squeaking sound like a horn. And she's got some kind of dog toy in there for some God knows why reason.
Yeah.
So thank God she didn't find the air horn.
Happened? She was at the airport and her bag got mixed up with Scooby the Clown's bag.
Yeah, is that what happened?
Yeah.
And Scooby's like, why is my bag so loud?
Yeah, she accidentally took Scooby the Clown's bag. So there's probably going to be like a lot of little dogs coming out of that bag. Speaking of which, you know what? On Miranda Street tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know how many feet away, but under a chair.
Right.
On the sidewalk, dead baby possum.
Dead baby possum?
Yeah, just in case you want to go out there.
Are you sure about its status as dead and not
playing
possum?
Oh, right, I forgot it could be playing possum.
They play possum.
I didn't even think about that.
Wow, that possum totally fooled you.
Yeah.
Unless it's dead.
Yeah, no, I think this one actually is dead because its eyes are open. Don't they close their eyes when they fake it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Unless they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's not even blinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all part of Miranda Street. It's part of the atmosphere.
The circle of life on Miranda Street, which has gotten even weirder this week because for some reason, Anthony Alfaro, our sound guy, decided to bring a Komodo dragon to the studio tonight.
Well, you know, we had that zookeeper a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think Anthony has always wanted to fit in with the group.
Well, he's been here for a while,
enjoyed.
But he's one of the later additions to the group.
Right, exactly.
So he's looking for his thing.
And he saw that we so enjoyed having, you know, Needles and...
Needles the Hedgehog, yeah.
Yeah, and then what was the name of the... Larry,
the spiny-tailed Egyptian lizard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Anthony said to me, he said he had access to some animals and could he bring
I don't want to know why he has access, but I just question the wisdom of bringing a Komodo dragon into a studio that already has a puppy and Captain Crinkle.
Well, I got to say, I've not seen a lot of Komodo dragons, but it is, in a creepy sort of way, it's beautiful.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean,
it's a species of lizard, by the way, native to the Indonesian islands of Komodo, Rinca, Flores, and Gili Montang, where we, by the way, are on the list of comedy podcasts listened to in Gili Montang.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're very high up in Gili Montang.
That's good. Among comedy podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We probably haven't cracked the top
100. I can't
100.
Go there without being surrounded by...
By fans?
No, by Komodo dragons.
Right.
They love
who may or may not be fans after this broadcast. But anyway, Anthony, not necessarily wise, but we do appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we should keep it in the container.
Does he have a container? That container is empty.
All right. All right.
Okay, well, so we've got giant monitor lizard walking around.
I'm not worried.
Okay. No, I'm not worried either. No, but you know what? Our listeners don't care.
Look at the size of that tongue, though. Yeah. Look at the size of that tongue.
What, on Bonnie?
No, on
the lizard?
No, on the lizard.
Oh.
We're looking at the lizard. Stay focused.
Okay,
stay
I'm sorry. It's just like our listeners are being deprived of this because this is an audio medium.
It is an audio medium. And I do feel bad sometimes that we talk about visual stuff.
Right.
So I have come up.
Yeah, like listeners can't see our facial expressions is
right,
one of
exactly.
the problems.
Yeah.
It causes confusion. But you told me last night you've solved this problem.
I have. I've developed a handy guide for the listeners so that when someone has a facial expression, I can refer to it. Tony Anita Hull has posted on Facebook 3 faces as reference points.
So, like, you can just reference them, and then people can go to our Facebook page and understand the expression on somebody's
right.
face.
Okay. So face number one is Rod Rosenstein's I'm a kidnapped victim, please send help. You know that face.
Oh, so yeah. So when Barr was was testifying and Rosenstein was behind trying to show that he was supportive but really looking desperate.
But yeah, clearly there was like a knife in his back.
Right.
And he was unable to communicate in any other way than with his eyes.
Right. Please send help.
Face number two is Bill Barr's I don't understand this face.
Okay. When he really understands something, but he's pretending he
doesn't. Right. When he's pretending. Like when Kamala Harris asked him, let's see, if President Trump ever suggested that they investigate somebody, and he made that face for a while.
Could you say in different language?
She said, this is a yes or a no. You should be able to answer it quickly. And he said, I'm just trying to understand the word suggest.
Oh,
and he had that great, like, phony, like, I don't get it face.
That's face number
and
two.
Face number three is screaming Beatles fans from 1966.
1966 specifically.
Well, yeah, just to help people that might remember those. So if you can either just remember these images in your own head, that's face number one, number two, and number three, or you can go to the Facebook page and see the faces
and see what
in
the faces
book.
Are. So you're going to try to reference those at various points during the evening as a way of enhancing the experience of our listeners.
Right, exactly. It's more multimedia that way.
How do I look right now hearing this news?
I'm going to say that Adam has a face number one right now.
A little bit.
Yeah. He's look at the size of those claws.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Paula, you tell me you're proud of the way our listeners, the nobodies, as they call themselves, have banded together for common cause.
Well, you know, there have been a lot of dramatic stories in the news lately about search and rescues. And I'll be honest, it's hard not to take pride in the way the nobodies are coming together in the relentless nationwide search for Thomas Coyne. Even with that indisputable positive result of our podcast, because that is a very positive thing that we're all looking for Thomas Coyne and with such teamwork.
Is it?
I sometimes say to myself, is that enough? And I don't think it is. So a few weeks ago, I upped my game on this podcast and began to also use this time to improve my vocabulary.
I've been enjoying this. This is a great idea, and we've been doing it very well, I think.
Thank you very much. Each week, I add a new word and make it my own, and I encourage our listeners to make it theirs. This week's word is, well, it's two words, but I found it in the dictionary.
So it counts.
This week's word is, let me make sure I'm saying it correctly, lapsus linguae.
Lapsus linguae.
Yes. It's Latin, and it means slip of the tongue.
Slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
A lapse of your linguae. Sure.
Lapsus linguae.
I think it probably literally means slip of the tongue.
Yeah. I think it does.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Do you see the dragon's face?
Yeah.
He did a little lapsus linguae right then himself.
Exactly.
He did. A little slip of the tongue then.
Well, I think he's constantly doing that. I think that's how he smells.
So I'm going to use this in a sentence for the listeners, lapsus linguae. Adam Felber is on some of our shows. Whoa! That was a lapsus linguae.
I see.
Adam Felber is on all of our shows.
Yeah, and this harkens back to this.
He made a face number two right then, ladies and gentlemen. He made a face number two, not just pretending that he didn't understand what I was saying.
No,
but
I think I understand what you're saying.
I think he really understood what I was
saying. For our listeners who need a little catching up, Paula has made it her mission to make the most frequently observed thing about me on this show the fact that I am on all of them. Which
Adam Felber's on every show.
Arguably the only thing that our listeners now comment on when they review or comment is that I'm on every show. And
they're happy about it, though. I
continue to feel a little insulted by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh.
Every time.
Well, then, you know what? I can't remember what's the name of the word that was it? What's the social faux pas?
Oh, the social faux pas vocabulary word.
I can't even remember.
You can't remember because that's odd because we quizzed you on all the vocabulary words last week and you nailed it.
Damn it.
And then told me that you hadn't studied. And then you drove me home and I accidentally sat on your flashcards that you'd made for yourself.
Flashcards?
Yes. Oh, see, now you're making a face number two.
Flashcards? What do you mean by flashcards? I'm just trying to understand flashcards. Oh, damn it. I wish I could remember that word. I'll think of it when I don't need it.
The social faux pas. The boner, as it were.
Solecism. It was my mistake. I committed a solecism.
You committed a solecism.
Yeah, that's what it was. Solecism. I just couldn't think of it, and then I remembered it all of a sudden.
It is an ongoing
when Tony
solecism.
Anita Hall held up a piece of paper so I could see it. Thank you.
Yes, a piece of paper that resembles a large, what, Paula? Flashcard.
Oh, no, no.
I'm sorry for exposing you on the air, but I felt it was merited at this point. All right. Well, we're going to be trying to not engage in any solecisms or lapsus linguis.
Lapsus lingui, slip of the tongue, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And in moments, we're poised to, after we take a quick break, we're poised to have your rap debut.
I can't tell you how nervous I am.
I can't tell you how nervous I am.
Yeah. I just feel it's going to make such a mark on the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to leave a mark. That's for sure.
It is.
I think it's going to leave one more than make one. But anyway, coming up, Paula's rap.
When are the Grammys? Let me just ask, when are the Grammys?
When are the Grammys? Well, we've got JJ. When are the Grammys generally? They're in January? Last weekend in January.
Captain Crinkle, make sure I'm not booked then.
Okay. No. Yeah, you know, you can probably book her. But we'll see. We'll see.
Got have time. I got time to receive my Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well, coming up right after this, Paula's rap debut and much more when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
All right, move that fucking lizard.
Now, Paula, as excited as I am for your rap debut, we'll get to that in a minute, and I'm really excited. I am equally or more excited to announce that we have a new sponsor on the show this week.
Does it have something to do with rap?
No, but it has something to do with you.
Yeah, right. Well, people associate me with rap now.
They really don't.
They do.
But, no, they don't. But what they do associate you with,
yeah.
Let me just announce a new sponsor, okay? Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brought to you in part by Arm & Hammer Cloud Control Cat Litter.
And you don't think that has anything to do with rap?
No. It's hard to say.
Arm & Hammer. Yeah. You know what I love? I love my cats. I love when my cat Harrison fetches.
You have a cat named Harrison Fetches?
No, I have a cat named Harrison, and Harrison fetches. You know, you can't.
So you have two cats, one named Harrison and one named Harrison Fetches.
You can't see punctuation.
Again, two cats, one is named Harrison, one is named Harrison Fetches.
I have 13 cats.
Okay.
Yeah. And I throw a fake mouse, and he has no idea. I throw a fake mouse down the hallway, and he'll fetch it, and it's a wooden hallway, and you hear his little paws padding back, and he will do it so many times that as he comes back with the fake mouse in his mouth, he's breathing so heavily, like around the mouse. And those little thump, 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 thump feet.
And that ties into this cat litter how?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I love throwing the mouse for Harrison. I love Harrison. It's hard to love cleaning Harrison's litter box.
Oh, and as the owner of only one cat, I can only imagine what is it now, 27 cats?
No, I have 13.
13 cats.
Okay. And let me tell you, 13 cats with excellent bowels.
Really? Healthy?
Yeah, very functional bowels.
They work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Well, that's why Arm & Hammer created new cloud control litter. There's just... One of the big things is that there's no cloud of nastiness here. Are you familiar with the cloud of nastiness?
It's 100% dust-free.
It's 100% dust-free.
Do you know that my eye doctor gave me some masks?
What?
Because she feels that it could be kitty litter that makes me cough.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for, like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, an ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here it go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here, and I don't know if I have time for it. Your eye doctor gave you masks?
Yeah.
Why is your eye doctor giving you advice on coughing anyway?
She noticed.
And
she's
so
trying
she gave
to
you
look
masks
in my eyes and I'm
nose.
Coughing on her.
I feel like she's trying to diversify and expand her purview over
you think
your body.
Like she's trying to go to for another organ?
Going for nose and mouth now. That's clearly, that's clearly what's happening.
But she did. She was very concerned about the dust in my in my
this
litter.
Is, so let me repeat, 100% dust-free, free of heavy perfumes, and it helps reduce airborne dander from scooping, which could be your problem right there. So what happens in the litter box stays in the litter box.
Although on the other hand, without the perfume from my kitty litter, I'll have no perfume at all.
New Cloud Control Cat Litter by Arm & Hammer. More power to you. Thank you, house band Sean Hughes. I like that. Paula, I know that you were crushed recently when Butterfingers were sold to another company and changed their formula, their recipe.
I have nothing to look forward to anymore.
Yeah. Now, to me, that's somewhat of an overreaction to a candy changing a recipe, but...
Maybe you didn't understand my life.
No. I think I did, which is why I'm trying not to ridicule this.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
I understand that it had a big effect on you.
Every time I'm in the airport and I go to, like, one of those, you know, the little Hudson gift shop thingies. Well, who wants a gift from there? But... And I look at the Butterfingers, and, for a minute, I have a little dopamine hit, you know, Butterfingers.
Butterfingers.
And then I see that goddamn red corner.
The red banner.
With the words, improved recipe.
Right. And to your mind, it is not
sinks.
An improved recipe.
No, it's terrible.
Now, the candy company Ferrara, you know, begs to differ. They bought Butterfingers and instantly changed it to something a little creamier and less crunchy.
I don't know that they thought they made it better.
What do you think they were doing? Cutting corners?
They felt the need to change it, you know, because they just, you know.
And you've said on this show that now you have nothing to live for?
No, I don't know that I have nothing to live for, but I have nothing to look forward to.
Wow.
You know, so.
Almost one and the same.
Yeah. There's no, I have no hope.
Wow. So, you know, and when human emotion reaches a certain point, it seeks a higher level and it breaks into song. We know that from musicals. We know that from life. And you've tried to do this by writing your first ever rap song.
I had to.
Which is not really your chosen medium at all.
You don't think rap was my chosen medium? I don't know. I like rap. I'm not sure I've been able to. Well, I want to make my song a powerful song for other people so that they can feel that.
You want to communicate
feeling.
Your feeling about Butterfingers
exactly.
to a wider audience. And certainly nowadays, rap and hip hop is a way to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. Now, to help you with that musical
it's
effort.
It's an outlet, Adam.
It's an outlet. Yeah.
I've been using balloon animals for a while, but frankly, that wasn't enough.
Frankly, I'm glad that you've decided to switch from balloon animals to something else.
Yeah.
Because
you'd rather balloon
animals
than my rap, or you'd rather rap than my balloon animals?
Almost anything than your balloon animals, because this is not a visual medium. Our listeners don't understand how very poor your balloon animal skills are.
You know what? They're not poor, but now that you mention animal, move your chair just a little bit, because that Komodo dragon is right behind
dragon's
your chair.
Right. God damn it. That guy is creepy.
Yeah,
I think it's a guy. I don't know. There I am sexistly assuming that monitor lizard is a...
I wouldn't mess with that. Look at... Okay. It's gross.
Yikes. Anthony Alfaro, again, not sure why you did that. Mm-mm. All right, so...
By the way, right now, the Komodo dragon is behind Adam's chair, and it has a face number one.
Okay, everybody, refer to your Facebook page to see face number one, the Rod Rosenstein Get Me Out of Here look. Is that the one it is?
Yeah.
I've already memorized your code. Anyway, to help with your musical effort, which I really want to get back to, is a man who is an award-winning composer, music producer, and orchestrator. He's worked with Lady Gaga, Snoop Dogg, Diddy, Ne-Yo, and Wynton Marsalis. In 2016, he was the winner of the 2016 International John Lennon Songwriting Contest in the hip-hop category with co-composer Tia P. He's also a professor at USC's Thornton School of Music. Please welcome Jay Deal.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Jay, thanks for coming.
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you.
Now, Jay, I understand you grew up in Baltimore.
I did.
And by the time you were in high school, you were performing in PBS specials and doing international tours?
That is accurate, yes.
Now, that's how that happened.
Man, I played in church. So
okay.
Basically, long story short, the choir director for the college in my town, they had a world touring schedule, and he saw me play locally, and he said, "You are a bass player now."
Wow.
So I was like, okay.
That's great.
Yeah, and I ended up, it was great. I ended up actually earning a math degree from that university. So
you majored in math at Morgan State University, I have written down right here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that seems like an interesting, I mean, no, mathematics have always been very closely connected to music.
A lot of connections, indeed.
You know, they say so when they want your kid to take music lessons. That's one of the things they pump the parents with. You know, it helps with math. It helps with, my son took the cello. He never figured out what 20 minutes of practice was.
Okay. But then he ended up excelling at neither math nor music.
He excelled, right?
Well, it's a... It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
Okay, that's right.
Exactly. I'm a late bloomer myself, and this is the thing that when I heard your segment of another USC professor, you talked about how, was it Mrs. Farmer who brought out
Mrs. Farmer with the glockenspiel.
Exactly.
That's right. My name is Mrs. Farmer.
Yeah. And see, that just, those neural pathways that you're using to learn music, maybe they're giving you an advantage in some other area, but mm-hmm. it just takes time for it to manifest.
Exactly.
And for me, it took a long time before I made it in the music industry, but I was doing a lot of math.
Uh-huh. So. A long time, or I'm not sure what a long time is. You don't look old.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all I can say is thank you. I mean, I'm 45.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's not old. Jesus, you guys.
I love that Captain Crinkle is like, whoa, no. That's impossible.
Jay, in fact, you don't look 45, but let me tell you, everyone in this room would fucking kill to be 45.
I'm killing to be 45. Like, man, life is crazy.
All right, so you moved to L.A. and then started working with Snoop Dogg, Elton John, Wynton Marsalis? That didn't happen to me when I moved to L.A.
I got all those connections from the people that I met playing in church in that community.
Really?
Yeah, I was playing at church in Inglewood, and the guitarist at the time, this was like 2003, he was the musical director for Snoop Dogg. He said, "What are you doing this summer?" I was like, "I don't know. I just moved. I'm trying to get up off my homie's couch right now, for real, in Woodland Hills. And, you know, I got to find a ride from Woodland Hills to Inglewood to play at church." He said, "You want to go on tour with Snoop Dogg this summer?" I said, let me think about it a minute. Yes.
Right.
I'm available.
So wait, so you toured with Snoop Dogg doing what? Playing bass?
Bass synthesizer and bass guitar.
Fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool.
And that, of course, naturally led to you taking up with Snoop's roommate from college, Elton John.
Right, the natural discourse.
Yeah, I see those connections.
Now, see, Elton John was an anomaly because I was working with, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. There's a group out there who made it huge called Drew Hill, and they were asked to contribute to this compilation album, if you will. So the Aida soundtrack, which was huge for Disney, they wanted to bring in all pop stars to remake Elton John and Tim Rice's songs.
Oh, wow.
And because I was associated with that group, I was able to be a part of that collaboration.
Fantastic.
Now, I've heard like a lot of black musicians in particular say, well, they came up playing in their church or they came up singing in their church. Does that mean that that like the church circuit is cutthroat?
What a loaded question. I'm so glad this is being archived because that was deep. I think, wow. Paula Poundstone, like,
you don't
want to
answer that
gentlemen.
Question.
That is a whole semester of a course in itself.
You're making a face number two.
And one.
Bill Barr's I Don't Understand This. And one at the same time.
At the same time.
I just think of this backstabbing church circuit. And because everybody wants, people who perform want to perform.
Right.
You know, and you want to perform at a bigger and bigger venue. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you get it. I mean, I think it's a little microcosm of a bigger manifestation of every industry. But then there's a point to where, for me, I was just like, you know what? I just got to believe that there's one me for a purpose. I'm just going to go for it, try to do what I do. And I'm a people person, highly empathetic.
Uh-huh.
So those relationships turned around to be my biggest assets.
Okay.
So that's how I started working with Janet Jackson.
The whole cutthroat thing. But
well, yeah.
I imagine those. It's there.
I'm wondering what happened to the body of the former bass player of the choir that you came up with.
And this is what's so funny about it, because it's just like there's this recent situation where I came in and I had the skill sets for a particular job, but I'm sure to the guy who was there before I got there,
right,
I cut his throat. Yeah. But to me, I was just like, bro, they called me. I'm cool with everybody. That
makes sense.
So it's interesting. It's interesting.
So now, I just want to complete your resume because this is impressive too. In 2008, you were the orchestrator and Pro Tools programmer on Janet Jackson's Rock With You tour.
Okay, I have a correction for that. I've actually been working that job since 2008.
Oh, so you're still doing that?
I'm still doing that. This metamorphosis.
Are you supposed to be there right now? Oh, I feel awful.
No. How awful do you feel?
No,
Paula?
I'm telling you. Janet Jackson.
My face was, okay, we don't have a number for that face. That was like, I feel awful.
Janet was sorry.
Yeah. Janet Jackson's going to be calling me up, yelling at me for having you tonight.
But her yelling is like, Paula, I can't believe that you actually, I don't know what to do. That's frustrating.
Oh, she's always like that,
she's
huh?
She's the same. She's so consistent.
Oh, that's great.
And this metamorphosis run in Vegas, so there's some, a lot of files that I worked on over the 10 years, but there's no need for me to be out there.
Right.
For this. So they're doing
unless something
thing
goes wrong or they want to do something new, you're here teaching Pro Tools at USC.
Something new, yes, because something going wrong, their staff is like amazing, but
right,
maybe if they say, okay, we want to incorporate something new, let's call J Deal,
yeah,
you know, to put some new orchestration in. But pretty much it's just the best of the best of the last 10 years right now.
Wow.
So
that sounds
yeah,
great.
They're rolling.
So, well, don't get your hopes up for a wardrobe malfunction here tonight.
I don't think anybody was.
Right now, I have face number two, ladies and gentlemen. Face number two.
What does he mean?
Be on the alert for face number two.
Look it up, people. All right, so let's segue into the creative process. What's your creative process for creating a song?
I'm open, man. It's like I've seen so many situations work. I come in as a blank slate unless the artist tells me I need you to seriously plan this whole thing out, which is happens 10 to 20% of the time. And normally I just have to come in ready. Mm-hmm. So I assess where the artist is, what they're working with, and maximize that. That's my job.
Okay, great. So
this may be more challenging for you than working with Janet Jackson in terms of readiness.
Mm.
I have to
up
trust
until
your,
this moment, what's the artist with the least musical ability that you've worked with?
Adam.
These questions.
That is hilarious.
By that face, I'm guessing that, there's somebody who people suspect has musical ability that had less than you thought. I can see that on your face.
If you only knew.
Oh, wow. So you've actually worked with people who had big names but not so much musical talent, and you had to kind of come in and, turn some knobs and make it work?
I'll make this analogy. I think this will bring it.
We're not going to make you say somebody's name. That would be terrible.
Terrible actually is great for ratings. So imagine, okay, you have these Victoria's Secret models, and before the whole Photoshop and airbrushing and all of that, so everybody's right now living some type of like enhancement
audio fantasy.
All of everybody from the top artist to the minimal of talent.
Right.
So it's not what it seems. It's all a big illusion right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, because auto-tune and...
Oh, really?
Because face,
so
let's,
none
let's,
of them
let's,
really...
Let's talk
my
about
God,
Beyonce.
I might have
let's,
a shot at this.
You have a shot, for sure.
You haven't
for
heard
sure,
her yet.
Cause,
yeah, so what's that fucking lizard? Get that thing away from me.
Sorry.
I didn't think I cared, but now that I realize I may have a rap career, back that lizard up.
He's trying to make for being your manager.
You wanted to make a point about Beyonce, and I'm going to guess that she's not one of those people who looks like me and then looks like a Victoria's Secret model after
the girl
airbrushing.
Can sing.
Uh-huh.
She has a great look. She knows how to work it. But if you met her face to face, it's not what you see on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Okay.
And if she sang in front of you, it's beautiful, but it's not what you would hear on the radio.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, in that process of getting it radio ready, there's a million other people with less talent, in my opinion, that can somehow close the gap in sounding a little closer to the best.
Mm-hmm. I can see you inspiring Paula at this moment.
Yeah, I feel so good right now.
Yeah.
By way of full disclosure, Jay, I dye my hair.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know that. In case.
He's not going to style you for your career.
I know, but I just want, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I, okay. you know, yeah.
But let's move forward. Paula, do you want to put in your own words, or I think you already have, how rage motivated you to write this rap?
Well, wrote is a strong term, but I've written lyrics I wanted my lyrics, they're about the Butterfinger situation, but I also wanted the lyrics to have some layering to them.
So you want it to be more than Butterfingers.
Right, exactly. A little more depth.
Okay, great. So Jay, how would you want to work with Paula here? How would you want to make this happen?
The way I like to work... I really want to know more about these other messages other than Butterfinger. Like, what's so serious? Let us know what you're thinking right there.
All right, so here's the thing. They changed the Butterfinger recipe, which I don't like because it didn't need it to be changed, but there are so many things that do need to be changed. You know, we need to stop shooting at one another. That, you know, we need to change... what kind of fuel we use, what kind of energy we use. Are we going to lose the earth? We need to change... Like recently, there's been a lot of issues with just cruelty towards transgender people. So these things need changed, but not Butterfingers.
Wow.
Right.
That's something, right?
That's deep.
Now, deep. I have to tell you, you're making me feel inferior as a co-host right here, because I don't think I ever could have drawn that out of Paula.
I've been doing this a long time. There's always layers. And just like this hip-hop generation today, they're talking about some nonsense on the superficial level, but if you really understand where they're coming from, it's like, oh.
So there's something underneath the Butterfingers.
Exactly.
All right, so what do you want to start with? There's a chorus?
I have a chorus. Okay. There's only one part that I actually did with a tune to it. The rest of it, I wasn't sure what to do with. But so here's that part. This is the chorus. It's, some things need to change. Some things need to change, but not my Butterfingers. So that's
hot.
That's hot. Thank you, Jay.
Some things need to change, but not my Butterfingers.
Right.
That's a triple entendre, actually.
Yeah.
Should there be like a bell ringing when you get a triple entendre? Does that mean
you don't win anything?
Oh, damn it.
As the streets would say, your name would be ringing in the streets.
Oh, wow. Man.
Some things need to change, but not
now. My better
version. So that's a workable chorus. I'm even going to say that maybe we get like a really great guest vocalist to sing that chorus high, right?
I see it.
You see it?
I see that. I totally see it.
Because what hip hop track doesn't have a featuring? You know, in parentheses, right?
You need
somebody.
Even if it's not the first version, there has to be a remix.
Yes.
With the feature on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
For the EP, for sure.
And I know a guy. I know a guy who knows some people that could hook me up.
So what now, Jay? Do we get into the...
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look. It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to Season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinevo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
The other lyrics, like the meat of it?
Yeah, what I like to do is, I'm picky about lyrical content, so I would just love to hear everything you have laid out, no matter how underdeveloped or whatever, just to see what you're thinking.
All right, these are underdeveloped. But as I said, that chorus is the only part that I actually see. The rest of it, I wasn't quite sure how to put it together. So here's how it opens. Of all the things that need to change, and there are many... In the Butterfinger recipe, there weren't any. Mm. And then
that's hot,
you know, man. Some things need to change.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Out of all the things that need to change that are many.
And there are many, yeah.
And
then what else did you say after that?
In the Butterfinger recipe, there weren't any. All right, so here's the next.
I like Butterfinger recipe. That's fun to say.
Yeah, because we don't know what that is just yet. Like, she's literally talking Butterfinger, but everybody else is like, yo. What is
there could
Butterfinger? Finger.
Yeah. Right, it sounds like it could be dirty.
It's not dirty. All right, so here's the next part.
Just saying.
I'll miss the crispity crunchity fun size, but wouldn't it have been wise to stop shooting one another? We've got cruelty to the transgender. It's such a mind bender. That needs a correction, but Butterfingers don't need a new direction. Let's see.
That's hot.
We can't provide equal opportunity. That's lunacy. Why can't they address that deep regret instead of fucking with my chocolate?
That's some Kendrick Lamar right now, bro. I'm serious. No, seriously.
There's something happening here.
Okay, so we have the literal. We have one context that you could take to mean like, okay, this is some professional criminal we're hearing from.
Right.
This whole Butterfinger thing, like this something else. And then there's the whole abstract political.
Right.
Actually, not that abstract.
No, she's
went
coming
in.
Out
she's
telling
going
you.
In.
Yeah, she's going right at it.
I feel this.
And on another level, it's just a lady who's pissed off that her chocolate doesn't taste the same.
And everybody can identify with that.
Absolutely.
I don't care what side of the fence you are. She's talking some real truth right now. Like, it ain't right.
Yeah. All right, Paula, continue to testify.
That's where the embers of rage burn. All right. So then again, you know, some things need to change. And then if we don't save the earth, we'll be left with a dearth of resources and different courses. So don't hold your horses. It's time to marshal our forces. We have to change our type of fuel, make a powerful public school. If we don't let love rule, we're done. Oh, here we go. And then, yeah.
Wow.
There's more?
No, and then it's the chorus again.
Wow. That's dope.
You never even returned to the Butterfingers in that last verse. That's fantastic.
No.
But it's in the chorus, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
We can have some things need to change, some things need to change, but not my Butterfingers.
I did change the last part, which is some things have to change. Some things have to change.
Oh, that's nice. And for that, you're a genius.
Wow, you're good.
That's how the master songwriters do. There's this subtle change or nuance in a latter verse.
Okay.
You know, so it's cool.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Number two face? Number two face.
Absolutely number two face.
Why didn't we stream this on Facebook? That was the best face.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? I think, in fact, you might end up replacing Bill Barr as our number two face there.
Oh, wow, yeah, maybe. Because I literally had two Marias from my lifetime flash in my face. And I was like,
but not the one from The Sound of Music.
We never solved that problem. Yeah, we never did solve the Maria problem.
How do you solve?
All right, so
I got a math degree and that didn't compute.
Fantastic. So what's next? Now what do we do? Now we're kind of turning the controls over to you, right? Because we have to make this into something a little bit more musical than it is now.
Yeah, see, and now this is the thing. Right now, a lot of people in the music industry are about to get really upset with me because I'm gonna give you the secret.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna give you the secret, but
all right.
It's because of your social responsibility and your activism that it's making me feel great about doing this.
Okay,
so
great.
Take it and run with it.
And until we drop this podcast, it's just going to be like these eight people, one puppy, and one Komodo dragon.
Get that
hear this
fucking
secret.
Dragon back again. You know what? I think it's chewing on your phone charger.
It does seem to be chewing on Captain Kringle's phone charger.
It wants a cut.
All right, so here, drop that on us. What is the secret?
Okay, there's a couple ways to build a rap track. One is you have the lyrics, you have the lyrical content, the vocal production, and then you go find a beat to match it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Or you have a beat that's fire and you say, this makes me feel a certain way, I'm going to write something to it. So here we have the lyrics already. Now it's time to put on the beat and come up with some gibberish that sounds cool.
Uh-huh.
Like a little feel good. Because all it is kindergarten nursery rhymes, like feel good chants.
Okay.
You know, hey, it's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Sure.
It's your birthday. That's some 5-year-old mess right there.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
But 50 Cent made it a hit. So,
right. So
now what we'll do.
And then he went bankrupt. 50 Cent went bankrupt.
Yeah, we.
You know what I thought?
He's
now
no Warren Buffett. But.
No. You know what I thought his problem was? He named himself Too Cheap.
Right.
Yeah.
You should aim the little eye.
Right, exactly. 50 Cent.
I'm sure if he's out there listening to our podcast, he appreciates that insight.
Yeah, right now he just like thumped his forehead.
He's I'm going to come back as $100,000 bar.
Right.
Okay. So do you have a track? Is that what we're going to do?
I actually did conjure up something. I hope you like it.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, and it has a glockenspiel in it because
now, it has a glockenspiel
because of Mrs. Farmer.
Back in the day, she used to come in with the 6 glockenspiels.
That's
wheeling
right.
them in.
Right.
And so I just figured it'd be fitting that we have some type of flavor
that
from
so
real
cool.
music education.
From my, I had told the story before.
Yeah, tell it again.
Which is when I was in elementary school, our music teacher was Mrs. Farmer, and she would wheel in a cart with like 6 glockenspiels on it for 25 kids because she was smart enough to know that you needed like a supply and demand problem to make that glockenspiel valuable.
Right. Bonnie, so help me, I'm going to slap you. I don't know what you're doing. I think she's like a Velcro hobbyist over here. I don't know what the hell.
She's making a crinkling sound because she's unwrapping hard candies to feed the Komodo dragon. Now, that is just stupid.
Yeah, because it's just going to want more.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is they'll eat it right through the plastic. Give that to it. Yeah.
Okay, so back to Mrs. Farmer. So she would wheel in these
Glockenspiels, and she put one on, you know, each lucky kid's desk of the six kids that got to have one. And, of course, then everyone wanted to touch the Glockenspiel, whereas if she'd come in with 25 or 30, nobody would have cared.
She created scarcity.
Exactly. And when you think about it, I mean, what was the last really kick-ass Glockenspiel concert you went to?
As I think I might have mentioned when you told the Mrs. Farmer story, the only prominent Glockenspiel I can think of in popular music is when I was a kid, I noticed that there was always one playing with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. Mm. And all those anthems from the Born to Run era, there was always a high Glockenspiel.
Was there always a Glockenspiel?
Oh, well, yeah, there was.
Until today.
Can we hear this?
2019.
All right.
Yeah. Paula Poundstone in the house. Yeah. Drop it. Hey.
What?
Exactly. That's what it's about. What? What? You gotta verbalize what? The number one and then the number two face. What? Huh?
Hey.
Hey. What you say? Huh? And Paula, this is another thing you're gonna do that's gonna be great. After you do the rap, you come on and record another part reacting to like you're just hearing yourself say all this for the first time. It's like, hey, 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 hey.
I'll happily do that. I'll be her DJ Khaled.
And that's hip hop.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You'll hear all these other
voices. That's how I feel all the time with her anyway.
Yeah.
What?
Hey,
what? Huh? What?
Hey. Hey.
Wait, so I don't know if I heard the Glock in there. Let's hear that again.
This is kind of like around 18.
Where's my Glock at?
Right, where's my Glock?
There it is.
Bring the Glock!
Nice!
We gotta sample that. That's in Pro Tools. Bring the Glock!
Oh, that was perfect.
Yeah, that was on time,
nice.
Adam. So now what we would do in a real studio setting, we'd put the track on, you'd go in the booth and just, and you come up with these phrases that from a syllabic point of view, they make sense how they flow.
So it might not be necessarily what she's got written down there. Uh-huh.
It'd be nothing that she has written down. It's all gibberish.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then you would go back and pick and choose with your engineer, like, oh, I like that gibberish there, that gibberish.
Uh-huh.
And you make your words fit. That's one way to do it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The other way is kind of like, I'm hearing a lot of prepositions and a lot of, I can't remember the exact grammar words, but there's too many words.
Okay.
So you can get the same point across by taking out maybe 40%
of your words.
Okay.
Like, and sometimes pronouns like I or you, you can take out because it's inferred.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then that edited 40% less is what you would fit into your gibberish.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's very advanced for you. I'd probably take a different approach, but if you let that sit in your mind for a month, you'll get it. Like,
So, for the purposes of right now, do we want to? We can't gibberize right now.
How about if I gibberize and you see how I gibberize, and then you try to gibberize?
That sounds good.
Let's
so
do that.
8 bars of gibberish.
Bring that beat back.
Man-a-da.
What? What?
And don't touch my butterfinger there. So
some things need to change,
So now you try.
Not my butterfinger.
I'm so nervous. All right,
we're recording this, right? Awesome. Hey.
It's like jumping into a pool. Beep bop doo da. Beep da boop bop.
What?
Yeah.
Bop bop beep bop.
Oh.
Ba da 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 bop bop bop.
Hey, yeah.
Ba da 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 bop bop bop.
Huh?
Hey.
Beep bop boop bop. Ba da 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 bop bop.
Hey.
bop, bop. Bop, bop, bop. Boop, bop.
Huh?
Hey.
Number two.
That's wonderful.
Are you supposed to drip in sweat like this?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm dripping in sweat absolutely. Right now. You know what? That dragon is like licking up the sweat on the floor.
Well, you know, they need salt.
Yeah,
Komodo dragon. From what I understand about Komodo dragons. So that sounded nice, right?
Yeah, that's a great start.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
So what now? Well, what now, Jay?
In this process, it takes some time. Unless you're a highly experienced writer with a lot of chemistry, they take this MP3 home for a week and then schedule another session. But then you would have time to say, okay, I think this phrase would go great over this gibberish.
Uh-huh.
Or I found a way to phrase this phrase where I can replace this gibberish.
Uh-huh.
So, and then we come back and do another session and build it. That way.
Okay, so I have an idea. Why don't we do exactly what Jay just said?
What?
Like, we take a week. Thank you. We take a week. We live with the beat.
Yeah.
And then we'll regather, maybe with the help of Jay, and lay this thing down.
That would be great.
We Jay, have to.
Will you come see it to fruition?
We have to. This song is powerful.
Yeah.
This is powerful. This we
gonna,
have to.
Yeah.
All gonna, right.
This is going to be the Democratic nominees, the song that they play at their rallies.
Their rally song.
Yeah. And then I'm going to call them up on
Assuming that
the
they're
phone
not taking
say,
money from Big Candy.
Yeah. 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 You're right. Yeah. The Butterfinger people are going to nail them.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. My mind just went into a huge conspiracy theory.
It could happen.
What if the new Butterfinger management is in cahoots with the medical industry?
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, my
yeah.
God.
Or the goddamn Russians.
They're giving people this new formula of Butterfingers is engineered to give people diabetes faster.
Yeah. I think Vladimir Putin stamped every one of those red corners on those bars.
And you're going to go try to perform this in public for the first time, and there's going to be some rustling from the grassy knoll, and all they're going to find afterwards is some candy wrappers on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, Bonnie Burns running off in the other direction.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Jay Deal, for helping Paula create her first rap song. This is going to be an ongoing process. I can't wait to hear how it finally sounds. Paula. Given all that, at this stage, what advice can you give aspiring composers about getting in the pocket as they write their own songs?
Okay. House band Sean Hughes, can you give me some of that terrific guitar music as a background for what I've learned about making a rap song so far?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Rap has rage! The producer has to find the artist's vibe, their inner being, which is why I showed Jay my bag full of junk food and let him know that I don't often shave my legs. Two good ways of creating a rap song are having lyrics and finding a beat, or having a beat and finding the lyrics. A third way that I might have to use is finding a fully produced song and adding in my own, what?
Jay Deal is a composer, producer, orchestrator, and professor of music at USC's Thornton School of Music. Jay, thank you so much
That's
for your
great,
first
Jay.
Appearance on this show.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Coming up next, the results of our survey question. Do you believe that our Thomas Coyne search method is effective? One listener wrote, I think Thomas Coyne has been beaten to death. He may well have been beaten to death. Let us know more. That's coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Necco from Harlem, New York. Thank you, house band Sean Hughes. Wow,
nice.
This has been so fun and so musical tonight.
It's been very, you know, when you have Paula Poundstone in the house, it's going to be musical.
What?
Adam, on this day in... unremarkable history. Ben Franklin said, never mind. They were on the top of my head the whole time.
And hopefully he was referring to his glasses.
His glasses, yeah, yeah.
Possibly his bifocals.
His bifocals, exactly.
Okay.
They were on the top of his head the whole time.
Okay, yes, yeah.
Yeah. He also one time said, Beatrice, they're not all going to be memorable.
Oh.
Yeah.
In reference to his poor Richard's almanac witticisms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that guy was like an aphorism machine in
exactly.
his heyday.
Yeah.
So, Paula, we have the results of our survey about whether the search methodology for Thomas Coyne is effective. For those of you new to the show, Thomas Coyne famously was a early guest on our show who didn't make it to our show. And the irony there was that he was a survivalist who was going to teach us how to survive a bear attack. And we haven't heard from him since.
So. Yeah. And we tried to reach out to him Tony texted him and
called him
and just nothing. We've heard nothing back. And
nothing
so
back.
We began a search. We marshaled our forces. We gathered the nobodies and we began a search.
But the search, the methodology of which I have repeatedly questioned on this show.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
Okay, well,
We have people looking, and when they don't find him, they tell us where he wasn't.
Yes, which to me is not a dragnet so much as a random series of data points.
It is a worldwide dragnet.
It is a potentially endless fool's errand.
Get off the beach and into the water. It's,
okay.
It's a worldwide dragnet, you know.
It's too bad Ben Franklin didn't live long enough to say that.
Yeah, get off the beach and into the water.
Yeah,
he did. That's where I got it.
Yeah,
he did.
Unremarkable. So here's the results of our survey. 78%, God damn it, feel that our search method is absolutely effective.
Yes!
22% feel it is, quote, beyond ineffective. On
like
the positive side, Garrett Oriama wrote, quote, it's like the old quote about the best way to sculpt a statue of an elephant. Just chip away at everything that doesn't look like an elephant.
Wow, that's brilliant.
So we're chipping away
that's exactly what
everywhere
we're doing.
Thomas Coyne isn't.
Uh-huh.
And when we're done, we'll be left with where he was. Simple.
Thank you very much, Garrett. Garrett really gets it.
Except the analogy here would be chip away at stuff and then just keep chipping away at stuff.
What are you talking about?
Because unlike the elephant that
you know
be
what?
Chipping.
Right behind you.
What?
Can you feel it?
Yeah, I'm
the
being
tongue?
Stared
Can
at.
Can you feel the tongue?
The tongue.
Yeah.
Tell me it's the Komodo dragon and not Bonnie Burns.
The Komodo, it's not Bonnie Burns.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
well, that I can live with.
It's too quiet. It's too quiet to be Bonnie Burns. No, the Komodo dragon is right behind you, and it's like licking at the back of
Anthony
your heel.
Anthony Alfaro, you know.
What would make him? Nothing.
All right. Well, we had some more responses.
Yeah, Brian, I don't know how you say his name, C-I-U-F-O, Q-F-O.
Okay.
Had a good point. He said, define effective.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, Brian,
boy,
I think
he's a stickler.
You know, and you know, and there were some other people observing the idea that there was people who voted for it being effective who then qualified it by saying, it's effective at making me laugh every week.
Well, there you go.
So I feel like you got a few false positives.
By the way, wasn't it Nate Carmen, who thinks we've beaten Thomas Coyne to death.
Yeah.
Meaning that perhaps we had overplayed our hand on the humor.
But having lived on Miranda Street as long as you and I have, or done our show on Miranda Street, we know that it's quite likely that Thomas Coyne was in fact beaten to death.
Yeah, it's very, very possible.
Absolutely possible.
Apparently Nate needs new concepts every day. Well, that's just not us, Nate.
Wow.
It's just not
I don't know why we're
are.
Bragging about that, but yes, it's true, Nate. We recycle some concepts.
I heard that Nate said that we had beaten Thomas Coyne to death, and you know what I said? I said fuck you, Nate, and then I realized that was a lapsus linguae.
Oh, a slip of the tongue.
It was a slip of the tongue.
What did you mean to say?
Thank you, Nate, for participating in our Facebook poll.
Yeah. It's a very odd slip of the tongue.
Yeah,
but okay.
Yeah, it was an odd
Gordon
slip
Free wrote, quote, can't argue with success. He has yet to show up anywhere that he was reported as not being. That's a double negative. And,
yeah, it's genius.
And we don't know
that
to be the case.
We've
got hundreds of locations now that he has not been.
Yeah.
And the fact is, and this is what I keep pointing out, so Nate, just go listen to some Top 40 or something. I pointed out before, he could be in any of those locations right now where he was reported not to have been.
He's not.
Now you're making face number two there.
I did. I made face number two. That is the Bill Barr, let me understand what the word suggest means when Kamala Harris asked
and
him.
All I was suggesting is that if you just pick a certain time when he's not in a certain place, he could be in that place literally every other time.
You know, you make this so complicated.
I'm saying that you could put a pin on the map on Thomas Coyne's house because you happened to visit it when he was out at the grocery store. That does not eliminate Thomas Coyne's house from our search.
He's not in his house.
Okay.
He's not in his house. I looked.
Did you now?
Just quickly. I just did a quick. Okay. I just did a quick. Okay. A quick. You know, I've been observing Anthony's Komodo dragon. It's right in the corner there.
Yep.
The diet of Komodo dragons mainly consists of Timor deer, though they also eat considerable amounts of carrion.
Well, then they might enjoy the new Butterfingers.
Oh man, it's the new Butterfingers are worse than carrion.
Worse than carrion.
I would.
And you know what? If you're
I'm
the Ferrara,
hungry for carrion when I see a new Butterfinger.
You know, if you're the Ferrara Candy Company out there, you're welcome to use Paula's suggestion for your new slogan.
Yeah, worse than carrion. Yeah, that's gonna sell a couple of bars.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to add your own thoughts about any animal in this podcast, you can write us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com, or you can visit us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And I gotta say, if you go there, you will find Tony Anita Hull curating a collection of behind-the-scenes videos, pictures, some very amusing photoshops that illustrate the things we say here, some research polls like the one we just cited, and we might end up reading your posts on the air.
Yeah, you know what, Nate? Don't look again.
We'll be right back after this message.
We are the hosts of My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt, mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season one, done.
It's over.
Season two, coming at you hot.
3 years after
technically almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Smash Hit podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then at season two, we come at you with new hot co-hosts named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have field trip.
Dog tech.
Yeah. Dog news. Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
We'll not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog,
now's the time.
Get in here
every Tuesday
at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, you're going to be in the Nutmeg State, I hear. I just want to mention that because I think that might be the coolest of the state nicknames.
I didn't even know. That's the state nickname for Connecticut?
Yes, it will.
Oh, the Nutmeg State. Yes, that's part of the reason I'm going there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love.
Is there a gig there, too?
I love to go to the Nutmeg State.
Right.
That's Norfolk, Connecticut. I'll be in Norfolk, Connecticut at the Infinity Hall on July 12th.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's what I was referencing.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was the Nutmeg State. Did you know that before?
Well, as long as you're going to be in Connecticut, isn't there somewhere else you're going to be there?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut the next night, July 13th.
Okay.
At the Hartford Infinity Music Hall.
Wow, there's almost an infinity number of infinity halls.
I'm not going to stop doing these infinity music halls.
I don't think you ever can, by definition.
In Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Adam, as you know, our podcast is extremely popular among a very special dozen or so listeners, and we love them.
It's thousands, really. Like, literally tens of thousands, but okay.
However, in order to continue to make episodes of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, we need to increase the amount of listeners that we have.
That much is true.
And the best way for us to do that is...
Can I just kind of like give you the hype man, the hip-hop backup for all this
stuff?
Because I feel
much.
Like this would be better.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right, so continue.
I appreciate that. So the best way for us to do that is for listeners to tell their friends and loved ones...
Uh-huh.
About the show.
Yeah.
Many listeners aren't sure how to have that conversation. So this week, I have created some simple sample dialogue that listeners can use.
Simple sample dialogue. Attend.
Do you say attend?
Yeah, I told people to attend to it. No.
Oh.
I'm still me.
Listener.
So here comes your simple sample dialogue of how
here
somebody
it is.
Might.
Yeah. So, all right. For those of you who haven't been certain how to bring up
this sensitive subject.
Very sensitive. Listener, I'm sorry I haven't been able to get back to you for a while. I was abroad performing ballet. Listener's friend, I've known you for years, and I didn't know you studied ballet. Listener, well, I didn't study my whole life. I just took it up recently. Listener's friend, people study ballet from the time they're small children. Who could have taught you ballet in such a short time? Listener, I'm self-taught. My whole ballet company is self-taught.
Huh.
Listener's friend, self-taught? That's amazing. Show me. Can you walk on your toes?
What?
Listener, I'll do more than that. I'll demi-walk on my toes.
Okay.
Listener's friend, that's really something. How does a company of self-taught ballerinas get to perform abroad? Listener, well, I've never felt I could tell you this before, but I love to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's a comedy podcast that listener Nicole Norton says is like being punched in the head, but you learn something. Okay. And when I learned that it's very popular in Croatia, I realized that the Croatians don't require a polished performance.
Okay.
So right away, they were our target audience. Listener's friend, I'm glad you finally brought this up. I can't wait to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. So do you see?
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do,
you see
Paula.
How
yeah.
This way here, we grow our listenership by the listener talking to their friend.
Paula?
Yes.
I'm not going to pick apart this whole thing.
There's no reason to, Adam.
No, it's a house
There's
of
no
cards.
Reason to. We grow one listener at a time.
There's no listeners that this fits, but I'm just going to let that go. I'm just going to ask you a simple question about this dialogue.
Yeah, a simple sample dialogue question?
Yes.
Yes.
What does it mean to demi-walk on your toes?
I'm not that person, Adam. I'm just telling you.
Demi
walk on your toes.
Yeah,
it means just, partially.
Yeah, so semi, I'm going to demi, but she's saying I'll do more than walk on my toes. I'm going to demi-walk on my toes.
Exactly.
I don't think that's a thing.
That's a thing. In self-taught ballet, that's a thing.
Yeah, okay, maybe self-taught. I am married to a person who was in a professional ballet company by the time she was a young teen.
Uh-huh.
She teaches dance now.
Right, yeah.
Never heard about self-taught ballet companies or demi-walking.
You know, she, Jeannie.
What?
Asked me not to talk to you about this.
Oh, my wife said.
She said that she's never mentioned this sort of thing to you, that she's kept it. Oh, man, this is
a
lapsus linguae.
Really? I used to drive a lapsus linguae, but then I decided to switch to a more fuel-efficient vehicle.
I wasn't supposed to mention this, and I blurted it out. It was a lapsus linguae.
Okay. Maybe it is.
Yeah. Yeah. She said to me, she said, don't tell Adam about
demi-walking on your toes.
Ask her about it tonight.
You know what? I think I will. It's terrific pillow talk. All right. Well, thanks for that, Paula. And remember, nobody's our email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone. And yours truly, Adam the Felb. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. And mixing by zoologist Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Sean Hughes. You were great, man. And thanks again to our guest, Jay Deal. And he was great, too. Our head of security is Jonah Knuckles Glickman. Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Huh? Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Do-wee.
Something's change. Some things need to change,
but not my butterfinger.
Some things need to change.
Don't touch my butterfinger.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.